Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Stars on a heater right now, so it's always great to talk to our Stars NHL Spits and Suds insider from EP Rinkside. Also, you can subscribe to his Substack. Terrific article today on Vladimir Tarasenko and the adjustment he's making as far as coaches in Detroit and how he played with Paul Maurice in a short time in Florida. So that's a great article that you can catch up on Shap Shots with Sean Shapiro at Sean Shapiro on Twitter. The name of the book that he co-wrote with Stephen Meserve is called We Win Here. So he's got a ton going on. Always great to catch up with him. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be chatting. It's a busy week for me, but I'm happy to be talking here. I was just telling you before we hit record, I'm going down to tonight. I'm headed down to the USA. I think it's technically sponsored by Chipotle. So I think it's like the Chipotle All-American game or something like that. So for the top USHL, basically, that kids playing in the USHL eligible 2025 draft eligible players. So obviously mostly Americans, but I was there yesterday talking to a couple players. There's a Czech, for example, who plays for the Youngstown Phantoms, so he's playing in that game. So it's basically a showcase for the top draft eligibles playing in the USHL, which is pretty good league now, and so I'm headed to that tonight. So it's a good day to talk some more hockey.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Team USA winning the gold in exciting fashion. Another World Juniors title. I know they were the favorites, so kudos to the Americans for what they've been able to pull off. But I think one of the storylines that became really, really big before that final game was Canada being ousted and the criticism that came with it. And it's fascinating because I personally feel, and I think Kelly Rudy did a good job on Hockey Night in Canada, basically saying, like, get it, frustrations, how can you fix it? But these are kids at the end of the day, so we just have to be careful how we go about that. And I thought that was very classy by the former NHL goaltender.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot, right? Like, they are, we're talking about 18, 19 year olds and everything like that. So they're effectively kids, and it's also the spot where it's kind of a weird space because they are future NHLers and future professional athletes with a public platform and everything like that. So it honestly, for me, it's one of the better, like, I want as many, let me put it this way. I want as many people as possible when the U18 World Championships are in Frisco and Allen in the spring. I want as many people to go and watch as possible. I want that to be a great event. I want as many people as watching as possible. But I, if the Americans don't win, I don't want to be having the how this group of 17-year-olds failed, right?
Yep.
Like, I think that's kind of where I come from on this. And I think it's a great tournament. It's fun. I mean, to me, the bigger, and I think the rightful criticism has been more so to the coaching staff and the way they handled things. And so it's kind of, how do you bridge that very weird gray area of being critical of the way the team played and being critical of Hockey Canada, which I think is fair, and also not use this as an indictment on 18-year-olds. It's an interesting gray area to figure out, and I'd like to think I would handle it the right way, but once again, it's an answer we all kind of have to figure out as we go, I guess, if that makes sense here.
Yeah, I don't think Canada has, I mean, maybe took a little bit of a step back, but what needs to be concentrated on is how the other countries have stepped up and that hockey has truly become international. I mean, there were many years where, yeah, other teams are great, but Canada was the best of the best. And I just feel as though there is a catch-up factor, and we're seeing that in other sports as well, where basketball now, Team USA isn't as dominant as they once were because basketball has become so big internationally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's... It's good for me. It's better to have more competitive teams and everything, particularly with World Junior. I think it's really good to see this happening when Russia hasn't been in it, right? For a long time, it was really up until, I don't know, it's probably only been about a decade or so now that the United States has consistently been a prime, maybe a little bit longer, but this in our generation, Gavin, there's a long time where, like, I remember I talked to Tony Granato. I talked to Tony Granato right before the World Junior because he was doing the games on TV for NHL Network, and actually ran into Tony yesterday at the at USA Hockey Arena yesterday. But Tony and I were talking before the tournament, watching the camp and everything like that, and he was saying how, like, he remembers for 3 to 4 decades, it was just the US team was just going. And with the goal of not embarrassing themselves, right? And now they go in as a gold medal favorite. They're there. The Swedes, the Finns, the Czechs, they're all producing teams now that compete year to year at this level. And that's why World Junior, you get more blowouts in World Junior just because of the age cap thing.
Yep.
Right. So it is a space where it is good to see the growth of the sport. It's good to see more competitive, and it's all happening while Russia's not there, where in the past it was, hey, okay, are Canada and Russia going to play for the gold medal? And that's really what it used to be for a lot of. So
you had a good sit down with Jim Nill, which you wrote about most recently. And once again, Jim Nill preaching patience. And one of the things that he mentioned is parity in the NHL. And I thought it was really interesting to hear a general manager talk about this, where there are so many teams that technically are not out of it, many which are close and borderline wildcard teams. And with that, the price tag goes up as far as getting players in that what you have to give up. And I thought that was probably the one of the more interesting things that came out of your conversation. What are some other things that you talked about with Jim?
Yeah, the other big one too is just talking to Jim about how things are going. There is this discrete variable of Tyler Seguin's injury, the timeline of it, and obviously it's the natural question of how do you maybe use the LTIR space and everything. And my other big takeaway from is, Jim is definitely looking, and I expect him to make a trade, but you got to remember that the Stars have to be, there's a lot of names out there that would be really fun, and you figure it out. But, like, for example, I think, and I just don't, he's probably not available because of how well he's playing, and Montreal just traded for him. But, like, it's fun to imagine, Gavin, like, oh, what would Patrick Laine look like on the Stars power play, right? A lot of fun to think about that. Well, Patrick Laine still has cap hits in future years. And so Jim was quick to point out, like, we could have that $10 million in cap space for Tyler right now, but we have to account for how are we going to make it work next year? Because the Stars are planning on re-signing Jamie Benn. That's just the reality. Unless Jamie Benn decides he wants to retire, Jamie Benn will be back with the Stars next year. And I asked Jim, I'm like, if Patrick Kane is making $5, $6 million for Detroit right now, that's probably around what Jamie Benn's making. And Jim wouldn't confirm or deny it, but he said, you're not wrong on that range. So if in our heads, we think about Jamie Benn making about $5 million next year, which would be a discount compared to what he's made in the past and a drop from the number before. That is, it's not like the Stars can be like, oh, we'll go add an $8 million player. because you have to be able to make it fit next year, and you'd have to figure out the other things and all of that. So there's lots of other little moving parts that come into play. The other thing I really think for the Stars, I think Four Nations is really going to impact the Stars deadline, because I think there's going to be two things that are going to stand out. I think first, Jim wants to make sure his team comes out of Four Nations healthy, right? And in the big one I'm thinking about is Esa Lindell and Miro Heiskanen, because if you go and look, Gavin, at the Finnish defense corps, after Miro and Esa, that's the one place where depth is going to get Finland, right? So at Four Nations, Miro and Esa are going to have to play 26, 27 minutes tonight. So that's, you're talking 3 to 4 games of that wear and tear on Miro and Esa. So I think one thing Jim will probably be watching is he going to come out healthy out of Four Nations? And if he comes out healthy out of Four Nations, he can then go be more of a luxury shopper. But if it comes to something where, and if he's a luxury shopper, maybe he sees something at Four Nations, maybe there's a Swede who plays pretty well that he wants to maybe go shopping for. So I think kind of reading between the lines, I think we're looking at about a month away from Jim really making a deal on anything. It just feels like that's kind of how it's going to be. He's kind of slow playing it. And I think that's when prices should also improve a little bit. The other key, Gavin, that people have to account for is you got to remember, for all of these big names you throw out or these what ifs, you have to remember that it's going to come at a cost too. And so I'm going to write something over over at Shap Shots this week for it. Just like, what is the Stars asset list? You have to account for that too. Like, what is it? It's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, I want this player or that player. You got to think of what the other GM would come and ask back for. So, a lot of moving parts, but for me, the moral of the story is Jim is looking at something, and I expect him to at least make one trade, maybe two. Just that's both had been his MO in the past, and I think we got to give him a little more credit. Sometimes people have ripped on Jim for the, hey, I like where our team is at comment and everything like that, but man, he's, in recent years, he has not been shy about making the ads and everything like that. I mean, it's been, think about the Dadonov trade 2 years ago, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's one where I don't think a lot of people, that was a trade that people, myself included, thought was a addition by subtraction of moving on from Denis Gurianov. And lo and behold, 2.5 years later, Evgeny Dadonov has been a huge part of this team.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, you basically traded a player that's no longer in the league. Yep. Playing in the KHL for a player that right now is on your first line. Fascinating. That is a good trade.
Yes.
I guess the question is, and you can totally say to me, because I somewhat agree to you, this is a Shapiro Spittle July conversation. But just getting back to like the Jamie Benn thing, at what point, and I say this with Florida as an example, knew they needed to do something different, go out with the splash, give up a very good couple of players, including Huberdeau, to receive Tkachuk. At what point do the Stars say this current makeup, our own guy, because you know, and they've done a good job of re-signing their own, but at what point do they make the decision that our own can't take us to the promised land?
Well, I think it's
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Are you talking about Jamie Benn, or are you talking about...
Well, I mean, because I say that because would Jamie Benn be a start? I mean, he's terrific this year. I mean, you know, and I just said on Spits and Suds the other day, 10 points in 10 games. He's been terrific on the faceoff circle. I'm not saying, like, get rid of Jamie Benn. I'm just saying, like, at what point... Do you change the makeup, or maybe you don't? Maybe they truly feel as though this team is the Stanley Cup, you know, contender. This is the team.
I feel the core they have is the Cup contending core.
Okay.
Now the one, because also if you're talking about the moving pieces around to change things, it's not Jamie Benn that's getting moved. It's not Jamie Benn's the 36 years old. He's not. It's the, if you want to play hypotheticals, it's the equivalent to the Calgary Florida trade for Dallas would be moving Jason Robertson for somebody else. That's the equivalent, to kind of give people an idea of what it is. Player of moving a high profile offensive player for another one. And so that's the equivalent, and I'm not even going to throw out names for that, because I don't want someone to go and say, oh, Sean's saying they're trading Jason Robertson. I'm just saying that's the equivalent to the Florida Calgary trade. And I just, that's not something
great
I see
point.
Jim doing right now or along those lines. So I think there's enough here. I think this team has enough to win a Stanley Cup with the roster here. I think they'd be better with a couple adds around the edges here and maybe another player. It's not to me a spot where they want to go and remove part of the foundation. It's not some of the foundation needs to be replaced the way that, not that Huberto was a bad influence, just what Matthew Tkachuk brang was so much different element that the Stars that Florida really needed. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, let's have some fun. These are always fun. They're heavily debated. Today, the NHL came out with their quarter century team as far as the Dallas Stars. And here's the Dallas Stars quarter century team. Quarter century meaning 2000 to 2025. First team forwards, Jamie Benn, Yuri Lehtinen, Mike Modano. First team defensively, Miro Heiskanen, Sergei Zubov. In net, Marty Turco. And I got caught, I admit, I got caught because I was debating Dominic Hasek with Ralph Strangis, and he absolutely said, well, he was only in this quarter century 1 year. And I was like, that's a good counterpoint. Dallas Stars second team, Mauro, Pavelski, Sagan, and defensively, Klingberg, Esa Lindell, and Ed Belfour. Now, Ed Belfour had two very good years. I think it's arguable that he was at least a top three NHL goalie in those 2 years, but it was 2 years. And I just brought up Josh Erickson from Pro Hockey Rumors. He had Ben Sagan, Modano for the first team, Zuboff, and then Klingberg in for Heiskanen. And the second team, he added Robertson and Hintz, and the goalie he added was Kari Lettinen. I added two names, just not saying they're wrong or right, but if there's an honorable mention after that, that fair debates. Brad Richards, I thought was one in a very tough era for the Stars, had some very, very good years. And then I mentioned Ben Bishop, because while injured and many think below expectations based on all the injuries, when you look at the statistics, they were absolutely terrific. In fact, he was nominated for a Vezina. So just wanted to get your thoughts on the quarter century team. It's to me, it's fun. And I love like talking about names from the past.
Yeah, for me, the first, I actually think they did a pretty good job with this. To me, the first team is spot on. Mm-hmm. It's there. To me, there's no question about that at all. I don't know who you see. I missed the name who you said, but someone having John Klingberg over Miro on that might be someone looking at points or something like that. But that to me is, it's the first team is spot on here. Yuri Lettinen won another Selkie in 2003. Modano played through 2010. Obviously, Jamie Benn has been the Stars' most iconic player during this quarter century. It's that first team is right for me. Second team, the defense is completely correct. I think Klingberg and Lindell are great. Are a great fit there on that. It's also fitting for them to be on there together since they were such a good pairing together. I think some people maybe push back on Essa being there. Might be people who push back on his game right now, and that's just a whole debate for another day. Mm-hmm. The interesting conversation for me is, I think Tyler Seguin and Joe Pavelski are both the right fit on the second team. For me, the debate here, the first, the lesser one, and I don't have an issue with Brendan Morrow being on the team. He played played over 800 games for the Stars, had close to 500 points during that time. So I don't mind Brendan Morrow on this team. I'd be willing to have a discussion about another forward in that spot. I know Jason Robertson hasn't had the greatest year this year, but Jason Robertson set the franchise record or the post move from Minnesota record for goals scored during that in this quarter century. I wouldn't mind having the conversation about Jason Robertson there. The one for me that my only qualm really is I think it's a disservice to Ben Bishop to not have him as the goalie on the second team there. It is Belfour, and this is after 2000. This is after the Stars won. It's not, the Stars didn't win the cup during this year. So it's not like, hey, we can be right. Hey, here's the cup stuff, right? Like, so for me, and I'm just going to, cause I got it up right here. Like, so Belfour in the time after 2000, January 1st, 2000, cause I'm reading right from the Stars press release on this. Belfour was 74, 56, and 21, 2.39 goals against average, 905 save percentage, 11 shutouts. Compare that to Ben Bishop's time in Dallas. I'm gonna get this 74, 48, and 11, 923 save percentage, 233 goals against average, and honestly was robbed of a Vezina trophy in his second season.
He was so good.
He was, people don't realize how he led the league in save percentage. Ben Bishop, the injuries obviously took his career, but Ben Bishop for those 3 years, he was elite. He was he was so good. He should have won the Vezina one of those years. And so I have, that's my take on that, because I think Bishop should be on that list. The others, I think they did a pretty good job on. I don't know how I get invited, Gavin, at some point to vote on these lists.
Yeah, you really should. You did write a book called We Win Here that has almost everything to do with, and also your previous book, Everything You Need to Know, 100 Things You Need to Know About Dallas Stars. You kind of have a thing.
I am not claiming to be the top Stars historian at all. I'm not going to pretend that at all, but if you're building a panel to vote on things, I'm not sure how I'm not in your first 10 calls based off my history covering the team, but that's something I'll always kind of laugh at. So, I think Ben Bishop should have been on the list there instead of the Belfour. And I think Belfour's time is so much tied to the the cup win and everything like that. But and if this was in included 99, then he's in. But this doesn't include 99.
Right. You know, it was also interesting because I'm thinking of other stars. And I know, you know, maybe not defensively or anything, but Mike Ribeiro did put up big numbers for this team.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying put Ribeiro on the list. I'm saying if there was a third team, I think you need to look at his name. But that's why I brought up Brad Richards, because it was just a really bad time in Dallas Stars history, you know, going through the bankruptcy period. But Brad Richards was really good in a Dallas Stars sweater. So that's why. And he's a Hall of Famer. So that's why, you know, I put him up there. So,
yeah. But if we're just going to go off someone being in the Hall of Fame and we put Jágr on the team, and Jágr's 48 games in Dallas or whatever, it doesn't really.
We got Jason Dickinson because of him, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yep. Yep.
It was a second round pick to Boston for Jaromir Jágr, which became a conditional first. Yeah. Yeah. I remember I was cheering on Boston so hard just for that reason. Absolutely. All right. The greatness of Sean Shapiro, his conversation with Jim Nill, like I said, great conversation with Vladimir Tarasenko regarding coaching that I thought was really interesting as far as what an athlete wants from a coach and the honesty. And so I thought that was a great article, Sean. You write for D Magazine, obviously EP Ringside. You can find all of your work at Sean Shapiro. Thank you so much for jumping on to talk about these issues. Really exciting time in Dallas Stars land right now.
Yeah, it is. And it's obviously coming up. They're playing Montreal tonight, which is another, it's always a fun night in the building. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening on this, maybe your routine is to listen to Spits and Suds on the drive to the game. And if it is, that's great. And so enjoy the game tonight. And I'll give you, are you going to the game? Are you going to the game tonight, Gavin?
No, I am not going to the game. I usually do to see the Habitants. I can hear Selena Ray sing the French version of the Canadian national anthem. I always think that's an underrated touch of class that the Stars and Selena does, doing it for Montreal, and she does it for Ottawa as well, I believe.
I think that aligns up with Canadian protocol, right?
Like, yeah. No, it does. It does. So. It really does. You know, just randomly, it was Indigenous Night the other night in Calgary. Awesome game. Calgary, LA Kings. I mean, physical, really physical matchup. And they sang the Canadian national anthem in native tongue, and I had chills. It was just so special. And I just thought to myself, you know, we don't do that enough in this country. It was just fascinating. And I love like the celebrations that Canada does for Indigenous nations. And Jason Robertson, obviously, celebrated Asian heritage. So I just love the theme nights. It's really cool when you get to celebrate. You are a beast, my friend. I know you have to go work in one of your 15 places. And before we let you go, skating rink workout okay?
It is. We got the after I get off this, like about 10 minutes, and I'll go pick up the kid from school, and we're gonna skate a little bit outside. It's been good. We had last year, it wasn't cold. We got like 4 days of usage last year, and I mean, it's just been consistently below freezing for a week and a half here. So it's been good, solid ice, and been getting a lot of ice time out there in the backyard. It's can't beat it. So.
Nice. He is Sean Shapiro. He does such a great job. So follow and support Sean. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for listening and supporting Spits and Suds. Have a great day, everyone.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.